It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer, so let's bring her out. The star attraction, the one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
So you're both working. You're both working in the theater, and you get Wicked, Jared.
I was on the first Broadway show, and then I got Wicked. I did another show. Called The Pirate Queen, which was an amazing experience, but a doomed flop. I think it's on the wall at Sardi's of like the biggest flops ever. And then I went back to Wicked, and that's when I sat in Wicked for 10 years, because I'm like, you know, I reached my goals. I was in an original musical written by Schoenberg and Bublil, these writers that I wrote, grew up listening to Les Mis and Miss Saigon. I was like, that's it. That's all I wanted to do. So from then on, I just wanted to work, and Wicked was an amazing home to sort of work.
I love your philosophy about being a swing. Can you explain to the listeners what a swing is? And then we have to discuss your fucking positive attitude about it.
So a swing is usually an offstage position of a member of the show who covers the ensemble. So, because the show needs a full cast to operate, and if somebody gets sick or is out, somebody has to swing into the show and do it. And that's the job of the swing. And on a show like Wicked, there were two offstage swings and one person who was an internal swing. So they were in the show in the large, big group numbers. And then they also understudied, you know, most of the men of the ensemble. And that's what I did in Wicked when I first joined. I was a internal swing. So I had my own track in the show, and I was an understudy for Fiero, and then covered, you know, all the singers and dancers.
It's just fucking unbelievable. Like, I don't think people realize, you know, the understudies and the swings are the most talented people in the cast. Like, they have to fucking, at a moment's notice, okay, you're so-and-so tonight, and you have to know, I mean, did you ever get to go on?
Oh, yeah. All the time. In a big show like Wicked, it would happen maybe five times a year. It would be like, you come in and look at the call board and say, full company, and you're like, whoa, like, they would have like balloons and celebrations, like emojis. I was always on.
When you got noticed, like, okay, you're this character tonight, were you like freaking out? Would you like freak out?
Well, there was definitely, I think Steven could always see it. When I would get the phone call, if it would be a phone call before the show, because it also would happen in the middle of the show, in the middle of a number, in the middle of, you know, I would get thrown into different situations. But, you know, the second I would get the call, you know, although I would be staring at you, you could just see the wheels start turning. Okay, where do I start? Where do I go? I would just start going. I wouldn't freak out, but I would certainly just start working.
Because you have to be have to be completely hyper. Do you know Dale Hensley?
I don't.
Oh, my God. How might I know? I did Clinton the Musical, and he was, I guess, he was a part, and then he was understudying, and that's all he did was being an understudy. And he was one of the most intelligent people I've ever met. He was so good. I mean, he could go into all these parts he made a life of this. And it's just that, you know, 20 feet from stardom, I don't think people who don't understand theater realize that how hard the people in the back who were dancing and supporting are like have to be thrown in these situations. It's fucking unbelievable.
Yeah. I always love when we would have vocal rehearsals and I'd be singing my part. I sang the tenor one part, and inevitably people would be like, that's what you sing? And I was like, yeah, I'm basically Elphaba, but I'm in the back in the dark.
Right.
You know, I'm like screaming my face off.
Right.
Stephen Remus, Alex Lacamoire, and Stephen Schwartz, these arrangements.
Right.
It was so fun. But yeah, I mean, we're even though I'm back in the back of the dark in a couch, because those costumes were so big and amazing, we call them couches sometimes. But yeah, you know, but that's what I loved. I love the work. I have no interest in the notoriety.
I know, that's what I love about you.
You know, and you said we're yin and yang that way too.
Yeah.
And you said that, you know, you've been approached, like, would you, you know, like to do, would I get to do this like that? I heard you say, like,
oh yeah, I have a plaque right over here. Well, some of my friend, Ray Matsumoto made for me, because we were on stage one time, and look, he could have punched me when I said this to him, because he plays a very physical track on the show called Chistri, who, is like the main monkey. But it's really physical. And he was so tired one day. We were on stage about to do the courtyard. And he said, you know, I something about, like, I can't believe we have to do this. I was like, we don't have to. We get to.
Right.
And certainly a fatigued.
And he was probably like, shut the fuck up, Jerry.
Right, right. But instead, he went home and, like, crafted a project where he emblazoned this on a plaque and gave it to me as a gift.
Right. Oh, well, that had a major impact on. So just for the listeners, a track is the person's role, basically their part.
Yeah, when you're not playing one character, you're playing seven different characters. Right. So a train track going through the show, I'm this person, then I hop to this person, then I hop to this person. So it's your track through the show.
Okay. So you're in Wicked, everything's great, in a relationship, successful, happy. You take your final bow on February 4th. I think this is 2018, would that be?
Correct.
And you guys have a house, right?
We do. You know, we had a embarrassment of riches. I worked hard, but I enjoyed playing hard too. And so we had a condo in Fire Island. We had a studio in Fire Island. And then we bought a little cabin in the Poconos. Mm-hmm. And so in the summers, we go to Fire Island. In the winters, we go to the Poconos. I mean, and I said this often, and my friends remember this, who's luckier than us? Who is luckier than us? And so we were about, you know, Sunday night, we finished two shows. Steven had the car waiting outside across the street from the stage door. I went out, met him. He hopped in the passenger seat. I hopped in the driver's seat, and away we drove, as we did many times, off to, 89 miles away to our cabin. And about 2 miles from our exit is where we slipped into a parallel universe.
Unbelievable. Now, you don't talk about what happened.
Well, I mean, mostly because I don't remember.
Right.
I can tell you what people tell me happened.
Right.
I can tell you what the car looks like. I can tell you what my injuries were.
Right.
But I don't have a firsthand account. But, you know, it was a single car accident.
Right.
And, the car rolled, the roof crushed, and it fractured my 6th cervical vertebrae, and that fracture damaged my spinal cord at that level. And for a quick spinal cord lesson, it's the way your body talks to your brain.
Right, right.
So all along your spinal cord, from the top of your head to your tailbone, different parts of your body innervate into that spinal cord. And so when you have an injury, a complete injury, as mine is, anywhere below that injury point, where the spinal cord connects to parts of your body, you just can't talk to those parts of your body. Right. My legs work fine. My glutes work fine. My hands are fine, but I just can't talk to them. So I can't.
Right. You can't communicate and tell them what to do.
So that creates a paralysis, and you know, tetraplegia or quadriplegic is the technical term, which honestly, you know, these are words that you grow up with a certain image of what it means.
Right, 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 right.
And so I still have such a hard time saying the word, because what I learned of that word or knew of that word before this injury is so different than what I know.
Right, right. You now know now. Now, Stephen, do you remember anything?
I remember the basics. I remember, and immediately after we rolled and hit the side, I cried out to him, and he didn't call me back. And for a few seconds, I feared that he had passed.
On, right.
And at the time, and the way we had landed, I was kind of laying on top of him. And then when he kind of became conscious, he said something, I can't feel my legs.
Right.
And so I tried to get my body off of his body to not put more weight. I had slammed my head at the time as well, which later we realized I had bleeding on the brain, but thank goodness it all dissolved.
Right. They fixed that. Yeah.
But yeah, that's all. It's all kind of sketchy. You know what I mean? And I think as time goes on, it's even harder. And
it's right. It's like people don't realize you don't fucking know what's going to happen tomorrow, you know, but you were already living your life like that, which is a beautiful thing. So this happens. You end up going to, you know, the hospital, whatever. How did the community find out? Like, how did word get around?
I mean, it was, I don't know, you know, that's another thing. You know, Stephen made a bunch of phone calls that night that he has no
recollection. I don't recall at all doing that.
Right.
You know, trauma of these things. And, you know, when you're in that moment, I remember, you know, I don't know. I'm sure word got to somehow my stage manager or our company manager that, you know, look, I was never much of a crier, but, you know, every time I talk about any of this, I cry. But I gathered the company and let them know what happened.
Right.
And you know, me being me, I had prepared a statement for them to read to the company. And that was something that was, I could do when I was first injured. I could check in with other people. I couldn't really be in touch with my own pain, but right. I always like, how are you? How are you dealing with this? How are you handling this? And I think that was my sort of knee-jerk traumatic response was to, well, let me take care of everyone else. How's everyone else doing? I'm going to be fine.
Right. Of course.
And it wasn't until much later that like it all started to crumble on me, you know, what was happening.
So initially this happens and I'm sure, you know, you have, you know, because it was so sudden, like, oh, I'm not going to be like this. This is not right. Do you like, you gotta be in denial. You gotta be
The strange thing is that no doctor told me I was, you know, where I learned I was paralyzed is by reading my GoFundMe page.
No fucking way.
Nobody had sat me down and said, look, this is what happened. Your spinal cord is injured. You're going to be paralyzed for the rest of your life. Or as far as we know medically right now.
Right. Right.
And to this day, it seems like the strangest thing. You know, I've processed those emotions in therapy, thankfully. But yeah, I read it on my, when I read my GoFundMe page that somebody had set up, I was like, oh, I'm
totally
paralyzed. Huh.
So did you ever ask them why they never communicated that to you?
No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I had no presence of mind, you know, whatever, 5 days in, and you only, you know, I got 60 days in rehab. Insurance pays for 60 days.
Yes.
You know, you have 60 days to go from this prior life to this life, to learn everything you need to know. And then you're good luck, kid. And so, I mean, I didn't have the presence of mind or the interest in being like, now let's unpack why you didn't tell me sooner.
You know, I'm not Jewish, because you know the Jews would be like, how dare you? How dare you not tell me? I'm laying here. I can't move. And you don't tell me the truth. I have to find out on a goddamn like, you know that. Stephen, during all this, you know, you're dealing with your injuries. And what are you aware of during this period of time? Do you know that Jared is paralyzed?
I'm not quite sure I knew either. And I'm not quite sure I really wanted to know the extent of it. I just saw him.
It was that moment when we got to the second hospital where I was going to have my surgery, they called Stephen from the first hospital and said, look, we misread your scan wrong. You're bleeding on the brain. So they immediately took him to another part of the hospital. And for 2 days we were separated and I went into surgery, came out of surgery. And of course, Stephen was getting updates from our friends. And I think
Daniel actually told me that
So Daniel called Stephen in the other part of the hospital and had to tell him how the surgery went and tell him that, you know, that I was paralyzed. And at that moment, his blood monitors went crazy and his nurses were like, you need to calm down. You're going to have a heart attack.
It's very dramatic.
So that's the moment.
Well, of course. I mean, what a fucking shock. And it's also like, you know, here you are, this beautiful dancer and robbed of, you know, the thing you love. It's just fucking not fair. I can't, fucking pisses me off. All right. But I'm not entitled to be angry. So.
Yes, you are. You can mirror it for me because being angry is not
I know it's not, but it is.
No, I'm learning how to be angry.
Good. You got to get, that's why you're on Kill Me Now.
Hey everyone, did you know that Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States? And I'm one of them. You're listening to one of them. Fast Growing Trees has everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, house plants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and your space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Forever. I just want you to know that I just got off a plane and I walked in my apartment. What was the first thing I did? Is I came in and said hi to Avi, my fig tree. I'm telling you, and I have Yael, which is another plant, but Fast Growing Trees has changed my atmosphere here in my apartment. You don't need a lot of space, but they do have, you know, they have stuff for outdoor spaces, but I live in an apartment and I'm telling you, Avi and Yael, yes, they're both Jewish names, Hebrew. The space looks so much better. And I just had a conversation with Avi. Like, I was like, I missed you. I love having living things here. It's very, very, I don't know, it's made this more of a home. It's the best. And Elisa has some too. And she loves them. And she talks to them too. But she got that from me. Anyway, check out Fast Growing Trees. You need to be around plant life. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. You're welcome. So you get this period of time where you're like, okay, I got 60 days to fucking deal with this. Steven's like, I got to get better for Jared. You know, when you first see each other after, you know, like you're told on the phone, Steven, right, that Jared is paralyzed. What was that first, you know, when you first saw him after knowing that, like, what was that?
I think we just kind of crawled up next to him and held each other. And we both cried a bit.
Yeah.
Trying to understand and still process. And it's always been, anyone that knows us, Jared has always been the rock and the stable one in our relationship.
Right.
A lot of everything, the way I was raised, that I was very sensitive and very, and I honestly began thinking, I don't know if I can handle this. I didn't. And I think that we still struggle with certain issues. That mm-hmm. it helped for me to try to be the rock and be the, in which I still feel like in a lot of ways, he still is the rock, even after everything
right.
he's gone through, that he is just this solid foundation of our relationship.
Right, but you're also this person who has dealt with trauma. So you are able to like probably process it a lot better than.
I'm doing the best that I can.
Right.
But it's still very challenging for me.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Of course.
Also, and he already had his trauma. So now it's like his cup runneth over.
Right.
I mean, how can a person possibly continue to hold this kind of experience? And so that's, I mean, I'm constantly, you know, to your point before, we're still ourselves. I mean, I'm right. still rock. I'm still controlling. He's still sensitive. And
right.
But unfortunately, now we're both challenged in a way that, you know, now I'm emotional and sensitive in a way
right,
I never
right.
was. And I'm relying on him as a rock many times where I didn't have to before. And the whole thing of giving and receiving, I have to ask for help. And that is so hard for me.
Right. But,
you know, I do not live. I do not survive without help now. And
right.
so we're both, I think, being stretched to the max of like, oh, you thought you knew who you were and you knew all your skills and your strength.
Yeah, here now, you go.
Here you go. We're going to
throw this in the picture. Yeah. So I am really interested. This was a question I really wanted to ask you. Mm-hmm. You said that, you know, when you heard the word, you know, paraplegic or triplegic or whatever, quadriplegic, you envisioned something or you felt something. What would you want people to know that look at someone who is paralyzed, who is in a similar situation than you,
and maybe have that image or vision that you had, yeah, what would you want them to know?
Well, first, they're a fucking superhero. I'm learning a lot about this term ableism, which I'm starting to wrap my head around, and the way people can sort of fetishize people with disabilities as like, oh, you're so inspirational. You're as much as possible, you know, they want what everyone else wants, you know, just say hello, ask them how they're doing.
Right.
You know, and I understand that there's a visual that sort of stops us all.
Right.
You know, Ali Stroker is.
I was bringing her up next.
Yes. I vividly remember meeting her years ago before my accident, and having that same like, oh, and you see the chair. And so what I can say is do your best to see the person and not the disability.
Right. That, and she's like, are you guys close?
We have, many times, you know, she's always there for me. You know, I'm, it's hard for me to reach out for help. So right. I've only reached out to her a handful of times. And she's always, you know, like gangbusters, like, what do you need? What can I do? What can I tell you? She's always there, and she's, you know, on the album that we talked about.
Yeah. So it's not that long ago. You're going to be going on 3 years. What would you say is the, you know, I mean, we know what the physical challenges, I mean, we don't, I mean, you know what the physical challenges are. Steven knows what the, you know, physical challenges are, but what would you say is the emotional, I mean, you're not done with your emotional journey, but you do seem so, like you said, pro before with your career, like I'm not going to get my equity card yet because I don't, you know, like, I feel like you're like that.
Oh, very type A, very practical, very, right. And that, you know, serves me and is a challenge, you know, finding myself in this position, but there are lots of things about this that don't make sense, are not logical.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, my life is process and steps, you know, to, you know, when I go to bed at night, I need, you know, they're very, if I forget something and I'm in bed, you know, the idea of getting back out of bed, they're going to, you know, so the methodical nature of my mind, really does help me, I think, in this new life of, you know, I can't just be like, oh, what are we going to, you know, on a whim, do something. I have to plan what time I'm going to wake up a month in advance, because I have to have a health aid there, you know, to help me get out of bed and get to the bathroom and shower and get dressed. So that methodical nature that I have, I think, really does help me.
Right.
In handling this life.
First of all, do you dream in walking?
Yeah. Yeah. The other day I had a dream where I think I might have been in a chair, but I got out of it.
Right.
If there's ever a wheelchair in my dream, it's like something that I'm like, oh, I'm in this chair and now I'm going to get out of the chair.
Right.
You know, it's just the old Jared just in a chair, or there's no chair at all. Yeah. So in my dreams, I'm without it.
And then do you wake up like, oh, fuck?
Well, it is that moment that, you know, my alarm goes off. I have to self-categorize and 4 times a day. I can only sleep for about 6 to 7 hours. Sometimes I can push it till my bladder's like, wake the fuck up.
Right.
And it's that moment where, you know, where the bed goes up and I'm like, bzzz, and I'm like, ugh. You know, that's always a moment. And I'm doing my best to realize the face I'm making. And even if I don't believe it, like, just put a different face on.
Right.
Maybe, you know, it's kind of like outside in, like, maybe I can just convince, because it's, you know, this is it. This is the rest of my life as far as medically, until some, you know, brainiac comes up with a solution to this.
They better.
So it is every day trying to make that choice to adjust the way you see it. And I can tell you, I am not there yet, but I'm on the path.
Now, how did it strengthen or not? Well, it seems like it did strengthen your relationship, but how did it, or your commitment to one another, or you?
Oh man. I mean, that's a journey we're on. And I can tell you, a pandemic doesn't help.
Oh, I bet.
You know, because everything we loved to do together was ripped away. The way we, you know, even, you know, we were always snuggling, holding hands.
Right.
We would walk down the street and hold hands because I have to have my hands in my wheelchair.
Right.
So, you know, we had found some things pre-pandemic, like going to the theater, going out to dinner. You know, these are the things we didn't do much of because we were always working.
Right.
And then the pandemic happened and now we don't even have that. So
yeah, you're right.
You know, again, we thought we had a relationship figured out, and then it's like, just kidding. Everything you knew that worked for you, the way you showed love. So we're constantly trying to find new ways to connect. And I tell you, this pandemic has been a whopper of a thing.
Shit show. You're not kidding. I mean, you do know that you will be back on stage, correct?
Yeah, I think there's somewhere inside me I do. Again, I'm such a practical person. I will know it when I see it and it happens. So I'm learning how to be a dreamer. And that's one of the big things that Stephen's always modeled for me is you don't have to have all the answers to have a dream.
Right.
And have a vision. For me, I always had to know how I was getting there before I could believe in it.
Right.
So I'm learning how to believe in things, you know, whatever faith, false evidence appearing real, you know, that I don't need evidence to have faith.
Right. So do you
false evidence appearing real? That's what fear is.
Right.
And so
right. You have to, you know, I learned that in cognitive behavioral therapy where I had to, you know, I suffer from depression, but it was like, I had to like, okay, that thought is not real. That's you, you know, and it's just a way of, you know, it's work, but it's how you have to survive, you know, what you have to do to survive. Did you lose any friends? Did you get any weirdo shit happen?
No. I mean,
that's why I love our community. Yeah.
No, not at all. I mean, there are certainly friends and I that I understand are afraid of what this is. I remember I had family members that were coming to see me, you know, like uncle or an aunt, and they admitted, you're like, look, we were really scared. We didn't know what we were walking into, what it would be and how we would feel. I give people that space and those allowances. I remember when a close friend of mine had both of her parents pass away back to back, and I felt like I wasn't there in the way I should have been. And I apologized so profusely. And she said, look, you don't clock the people that aren't there. That's not a part of what happens.
Right.
You clock the people that are there. And I think that lesson was something that I took into this experience that I wasn't, you know, because people would apologize. Just still people that I have not seen that I was close with and worked with that are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's been 3 years and I haven't seen you yet. And they feel awful. And it's just not about that. Some people do. I think they come up against some fear, you know, of like, what's this going to be like? I don't, you know, and I give them that room, but lose friends. No, hell no. Everyone's.
Do you ever feel like, you know, there's just such a fine line with feeling seen and feeling invisible. Like, you know what I mean? Because you know you're not invisible. You know, like, you know people. Like, do you get the feeling like they're all like, oh, that guy's in a wheelchair? You know what I mean? Like,
no, look, there. This maybe it's because I was on 43rd and 8th Avenue and it's, you know, Midtown's, you know, very desolate, but my friend lives in a building where they have to buzz me into a special door where there's a ramp and I can't open that door. So I sit there and I wait for someone to walk down the street. And there are times, even getting into the subway, sometimes I can't, I need help with the gate. And I'll be like, excuse me. And people will just completely walk by and ignore me.
And I fucking hate them. Fuck them.
Thanks
assholes.
For being angry for me. Thank you.
What the fuck is wrong with people?
That's an appropriate response, as my therapist would say.
Yeah.
So that's where I notice being invisible. But it's also something I'm struggling with myself. You know,
right.
I spent my life looking in mirrors at ballet class.
Yes.
Every time I would change costumes. And that picture of myself is something that was obviously emblazoned in my identity. And now to see myself in a mirror is really hard.
I bet.
On my own journey of trying to see myself and accept myself. It happens with other people. It's happening with me. Next time somebody ignores me, I'm gonna channel my best Judy Gold. I'm gonna say,
I'm coming with you. Stephen, do you feel like that too? That people look at you like, oh, he's the boyfriend. I wonder what, you know, like, do you feel that too? That sort of sense of.
I don't, but like you, I'm always, if I see someone that's sort of ignoring him or not helping him, I get enraged. Yeah, I'm really still full of rage right now. If I have to be honest, Judy.
I can't even imagine.
So better ways than I am. I get so furious and upset quite a bit.
Yeah.
I'm working on it. But
no, don't. I just keep it up because that's how I am. But are you, I mean, there's this enragement that this fucking happened. And then there's this enragement that you have to fucking deal with this. Like I didn't have enough shit, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, and then there's that question. Why me? You know, like it's,
we diverge in that, you know, he sometimes believes in this idea of destiny or fate and I'm very, you know, I'm like shit happens. And then you can choose to learn from it or not learn from it.
Right.
Not like it was a prerequisite that the shit thing happened for me to learn in life.
Right.
Go ahead, make me a vapid, shallow person and let me not experience trauma. I'll sign up for that life.
Right.
But shit happens and you can choose to what you do with it then, you know?
Yeah. I feel like, I know this is so vomitosis, but I feel like you're going to find out why. You know, I do. I think
I agree with you. I really do.
Like there's going to be a, moment. Like, got it. You know, I do, but it's just, it fucking sucks. Fucking sucks.
I think for me to understand like all the trauma that I have to believe for myself, maybe it's just Pollyanna, but for me, that there is, we're evolving. And I believe that our souls, I honestly believe that your soul is constantly evolving and you go through experiences which you may not know the reasons why and the lessons that are learned now, but at some point in your life, I really do believe that. You'll have some clarity and some enlightenment towards that. I have to believe that, or otherwise I'm probably like, fuck the universe.
Right, because you would just be me walking around the street like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
Hey everyone, you know what I just did? I tore, I poured, and I enjoyed a packet of Liquid IV because I love Liquid IV. Liquid IV is a major part of my life. And I just worked out with my trainer and I had a delicious lemon ginger Liquid IV. That one has a little extra. That has a little green tea in it, and so that's a little caffeinated. So I enjoy that because I needed it today. And you know, it's getting warmer out, and what does that mean? Summer. Oh God, please come. It can't come soon enough. And that means you have to hydrate. And that's what Liquid IV does. It hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. And it has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in one little stick. And that's why Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. Okay? And I love it. I use it every day. Ben's basketball team uses it. It is a science-backed formula that works. It keeps you hydrated. And they have sugar-free. They have sugar-free packets in white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime. Okay? I didn't do the sugar-free. Okay. But Elisa does the sugar-free. So what are you going to do? You're going to stay hydrated because it's very, very important. And Liquid IV has been a longtime sponsor, and I love them. And they are a quality product. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to turn your turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's JUDYGOLD. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, can't even say my name, at liquidiv.com. Got it? You're welcome.
This album, it's called Thankful. It has some amazing, amazing performers, singers on it. The songs are fucking so incredible, all written by Stephen. The message is a, you know, it's a powerful message to be, I mean, like knowing you and knowing that, yes, there is a part of you that is like, fuck, being able to pull this off, especially now during this fucking pandemic. I mean, how was it recorded, the album, first of all?
We recorded it was a 2-year process, trying to get everyone together, over 150 musicians in the city, arrangers, musicians, artists, singers. And Lynn and I worked in 5 different studios, recording studios in New York City, throughout the New York City area. And it was, we would have a lot of start and stops. You know, there were several months we wouldn't be able to do anything, or people, certain people that were in LA, and which they came in, and then also dealing with a lot of people's agents and managers. It was a lot of, I learned a lot through this process. It was challenging. Right. I don't know if I want to work that hard again on a project, but it was a labor of love, and it was worth it. And I'm so grateful. We're so grateful to all the amazing, incredible talent.
Yeah. So by the time the pandemic hit, we had everything in the studio. Everything was in the can, as they say. So from then on, it was about finishing the mixing and mastering. And then, like everyone, it's like, well, do we release it now?
Should we release it now? When's like, the best time to release it?
And then I think by the time we got to October, you know, the end of the summer, we're like, there's never going to be a good time. You know, it's you can always find a reason to think, oh, maybe not now.
Yeah.
And so we just, the album was ready and it seemed to line up with Thanksgiving. We're like, great, thankful Thanksgiving. Let's do it.
Some of my favorite songs, FYI, I Remember, Beautiful Boy, Family. Can you tell everyone some of the people who've, and they volunteered their time for this, correct?
Everyone volunteered their time.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, totally everyone. I mean, I'm cheating. I'm looking at the song list. There's a song called You that is from a musical that Steve and I had started writing years ago. And one of our, like, in our imagination, we thought, wouldn't Norbert Leo Butz be great for this role? And the fact that Norbert Leo Butz is singing this song on the album, I remember being in the studio and being like, I've imagined his voice on this song. And the fact that he's sitting in front of us and doing it.
Thrilling.
It almost felt selfish that there were so many things that we had sort of dreamed about with, you know, because we did collaborate a lot on things. I would often be a sounding board for his music. You know, even self-taught, doesn't play an instrument, doesn't read music. I'm the opposite. I took all this theory, I write, I arrange. And so, you know, to have that moment, you know, with Norbert singing the song was just so fun. And then, you know, Stephanie Block, there's a song called Surrender. It's all from that show that we always imagine Stephanie singing the song, and to have her doing that. I Don't Want to Cry is a song. I remember him writing it in a flash of inspiration when we were down in Mexico on vacation and thinking, gosh, wouldn't Shoshana Bean sound great on this?
Oh, I love her. Yeah.
So there was a lot about this album that was us sort of finding a sense of normalcy.
Right.
That this was something we did before the accident, and this is something we can do after the accident. You know, so in that way, it almost felt selfish, but obviously, you know, we're doing this to get back. So Liz Callaway, Cheyenne Jackson. I mean, there's just, it's ridiculous.
I know. It's a fucking star studded. And the songs are amazing, Steve. Amazing.
Thank you.
These are all songs that were in his trunk. Like these are, I mean, he has a trunk full of hundreds of songs, I promise you. And so we would get in touch with an artist. They would say yes. And we would, you know, together brainstorm what song would be good for them. And we would give them a choice. Sometimes we wouldn't. And it was fun to sort of match, you know, performer with song, as we went along.
Do you think you'll be writing a lot? I mean, you have this time. I mean, do you hope to write a musical that's going to be made? I mean,
one of my biggest dreams is we did start writing a musical together. That song that Stephanie is from the musical. But it was hard. I've tried to cajole him back into finishing this, and the antagonist was kind of based on
Donald Trump.
Fuck him. Yeah.
But in our musical that we started writing over 10 years ago, in the musical it ended where him in handcuffs being taken away.
Okay, please. We have to have that done. I'm auditioning for the cop that fucking.
So I mean, and I love writing with him. I do a lot of stuff on my own, but we work really well together. But I think that he's still not at that.
He's a solo act. He's been incredibly prolific during this lockdown. He's recorded a bunch of different things. He did a virtual benefit for Ossoff and Warnock.
Did you? Yes, I did that.
Yes,
and they won.
And I did another one too. That was really good. Yeah.
And I'm working on a solo album that comes out, a pop album that comes out this summer called Fuchsia Blue. So I'm working on that.
Nice.
I'm on that now.
Other shows he's working on. I mean, he has
a couple musicals,
eight things he's currently writing. He's, you know, I think that's part of his right. Safety.
Survival.
Survival. See, and that sure. was since he was a little kid in this traumatic household was I can escape into my dreams, escape into music. And that serves him well. And he's incredibly creative. So, I mean, again, not that this accident needed to happen to make him write again, but he had sort of slowed down. His mother had passed. He was just not feeling like he could find his footing.
Yeah.
And I think this accident has sort of pushed him into like, look, what makes me feel good? Creating, writing. I'm going to do that.
When you say it, this accident, like for some reason, I feel like it's not the right word, you know, accident, you know, because I just feel like it is an accident. It shouldn't have happened, but I feel so much comes from you guys that you're going to find the light, you know, but it also, it's like this fucking pandemic, you know, I'm sure you guys were like, okay, all right, we're going to do this. This is how we do this. This is how we're going to do that. We're going to do this. This is how we have to do it now. And then no, we're not doing anything. You know, it's like fucked up.
Great. It's so
fun. Yeah. I have every day of my life, a health aid comes into our home and, you know, in the middle of a pandemic, you're like, well, now what the fuck do we do?
Right.
Like nobody's getting on a subway. No one's, you know, right. What my original health aide, amazing woman named Angela Garcia Go, moved in with us. Because she was going to come work on it. She was still working weekends for us. And she was like, look, I don't feel comfortable getting the subway. I was like, I get it. And then she called back. She goes, what if I stayed for a few days? I was like, okay, let's play a fight here. And she came for a few days and she stayed for 3 months.
3 months. She lived with us.
Did you guys fight?
No. We love her. Wow. I think she's amazing. She's an angel. She's literally an angel. She really, really helped us in so many ways.
Yeah. So yeah, the pandemic definitely, you know, we thought we had some footing, you know.
Right. Then, you're like, all right.
It's never ending, it seems to be. We may have another year of this.
Fauci said the fall.
Yeah. Look, I'm on board. I've been getting text messages. I think we're both sort of, I think just like today or yesterday, you know, we are now eligible for the vaccine. So that's on our to-do list.
That's good.
Because Stephen works as a health aide. I'm able to hire him through a Medicaid program called Consumer Directed Personal Assistance Services.
Right.
So he works in the healthcare industry. I obviously have underlying conditions, so I'm hoping we can get that vaccination soon.
Yeah,
so,
and I am definitely an essential cunt. So I need the vaccine. All right. So first of all, I want everyone to go. Where can they get this album?
So, you know, wherever you buy music, this is the hard thing with music now is everyone wants to stream, which makes the artist pennies. So, if you can, please purchase it on iTunes, purchase it on Amazon Music. We are working on getting physical CDs printed for anyone who wants to dust off their CD player. Or that's still the way they listen to music. You can email thankfulbenefitalbum@gmail.com. And as soon as we have information on how you can purchase a physical CD, you'll be signed up and ready to get that information.
Right. But download the whole fucking thing, assholes. Okay. So I ask my guests two questions at the end of my podcast. Number one, we're very pro mental health. So what do you guys take antidepressants? We always like to know. And or what do you do for your mental health? How do you keep your, you know?
I take a B12 every day because for some reason my mother, you know, has gotten her head that B12 helped with nerves and she used to always.
It does. Yes. I take it too.
So, you know, thanks mom. I take my B12. I see my therapist every other week, Stephanie Opens. She's amazing. And you know, I just have to get out of this apartment. I have nowhere to go. I have nothing to do. But I get out of this apartment and I'm just, you know, I've got my Metro card and I just go somewhere. The other day I went to go see the new Moynihan train station down at Penn Station.
Oh yeah. How is that?
gorgeous. It really is. It's breathtaking. And, you know, there's a lot of it that's not up and running, like the restaurants and all that. But
right.
It's beautiful. So
do you take the bus?
You know what? I can't get on the bus. The ramp on the bus is not the most friendly. And,
yeah, they're,
you know, horrible. Look, just try to get a bus driver to help you. I mean, I don't know what all they deal with in their day, but I can tell you they look at me with such disdain.
Right.
That they're not getting out of their seat to help.
Not as much as the people on the bus that are like, fuck, here we go.
I'm
going to be late. You know,
I swear that's, I mean, I don't want to take the bus just for that guilt feeling. But the subways and thankfully Ubers, you know, there's wheelchair Ubers that are so easy to call,
yeah.
You know, an arm and a leg, but to pay for. But thankfully, you know, so for me, it's just getting out. Like I just got to get out, explore, figure out what I can and can't do. And I know it drives Stephen crazy. It's like his little duckling is somewhere out in the world. And he just worries. Right.
What about you, Stephen?
I meditate every morning. And I also do something called Empower Plus.
Tell
you something, Judy, I also suffer severe depression and anxiety and had bouts of mania. And I tried pharmaceutical drugs and they just didn't work for me. And then I had learned through a lot of research through someone that told me about something called Empower Plus that it literally changed my life. I now take it every day and it balances me out. And
what is it?
It's called Empower Plus. And go online. You can see on YouTube.
Okay. I'm on so many fucking drugs. I can't even. I'm so sick of it.
This is all natural. And the reason it came about is a man, like his wife committed suicide and he had several children with mental health. And they were trying all different pharmaceuticals and having a lot of bad reactions to them. So he got together with the scientists in Canada and they came up with this product. And it literally, all I can speak for is myself. It literally changed my life and balanced. Okay. And I take 4 tablets a day and it's all brain. It's all actually essential vitamins for the brain. And I'm telling you, would you agree?
No, yeah. For whatever, he has not had any of those moments, which I became very accustomed to in our relationship.
Even through all of this, I've been the most balanced I've ever been in 30 years.
Yeah.
I'm checking that out.
It's really amazing.
Okay.
And a lot of people, they get off the pharmaceuticals because they don't have you do both. So there are testimonies of people. There's a couple of actresses in the business that have testimonies about it as well.
All right. I'm going to look it up. Okay. Last thing. It's called Kill Me Now because, you know, I get aggravated at everything. What pisses you off more than anything in the entire world? Like makes you fucking crazy. It could be anything that makes you fucking angry.
Oh, it's just the fact that I can't control my environment. Anytime we would go away, we would, you know, get to wherever we're going and I would have to fuss around the house.
And arrange it. Yeah.
Dust away. And Stephen would say, like, are you done yet? Are you done yet? And the fact that I can't arrange my space by myself. There's a dust bunny under our bookcase that I've been staring at for weeks, but I don't have the audacity to ask someone to pick it up.
Right.
These are the things that drive me crazy.
And what drives me crazy is when we call an Uber, a disability Uber, they don't know how to protect him. And it drives me fucking insane.
They don't know how to lock him in safely. Usually they're like, oh, this isn't my car.
I don't know how to do this. I'm like,
isn't that your fucking job? Like, that's the thing. If you have one job, learn how to fucking do it, you fuck.
Yeah. And I get furious and I'm not always the nicest person when that happens.
Yeah, I like that. I'm seeing the real side of Steven and I love
it. Yeah. Well, when we call an Uber, he's immediately like, kill me now. It's just
good.
They never know.
And I see a dust bunny and I say, kill me now.
Well, all right. I gotta say, I was really looking forward to this because you guys are a delight and, you know, I feel like mad that this happened to you, but your stories, I mean, you're going to help people. I mean, just fucking being brutally honest about it. It's totally going to help people. And look at the fucking album. It's awesome. How is it doing?
I'm super proud of it. Our producer Lynn Pinto, is looking at all those numbers and it's usually like a 2-month lag time. I think between the reporting of numbers and sales. So
right. But you're getting great feedback.
Yeah, great feedback.
Incredible feedback.
And that's why I'm so grateful for things like this, because the album, yes, we want to financially support the Actors Fund, Canine Companions for Independence, and you know, pieces of equipment that I still hope to get. But also, you know, to be an advocate, to have a platform to say, look, this is what disability is. This, you know, the questions you asked, thank you so much for asking those questions And I knew at it. I knew it being an advocate for this sort of thing. But it's one of the opportunities the album.
But it, yeah, but it's also great. I mean, you have this perspective of, you know, I'm sure Allie doesn't remember, you know, not being in a wheelchair, you know, or very little memory. And you have this experience of, I'm not only, you know, physically fine. I'm like a dancer, you know, like I'm a beautiful specimen who loves, you know, and now you're the same person, but different, you know. It's just, it's so important for people to realize that
when the rug gets pulled out from underneath you, there's a way.
Well, you're inspirational. And Steven is fucking awesome with that fucking pebble thing on his head.
We love you so much, Judy.
I adore you guys.
Let's all go to dinner and have a nice dinner.
Can we? Yes. Oh, you'll love my girlfriend, Elisa.
We would love that. We're going to make that happen.
Is she the rock, the sane, the practical? Is she more me or is she more Steven?
I'm going to go with she is more you. You know, she's a licensed clinical social worker. She now runs her family's real estate. But when I had a very bad clinical depression, she kept me out of the hospital. Like, she was amazing. She's you, like, with the planning. I have to, it has to be this way. And I am so Steven, like, okay, whatever. Okay. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I don't need to plan it out, you know? Yeah. So
we need that, you know, we need that, me and her. We need someone to be like, look, you don't have all the answers to start on the journey. Just go.
Right. Well, thank you guys. Good luck with everything. We're having dinner.
Yes.
You're going to continue writing and you're going to cast me. Okay. Yeah.
That's everything.
Thank you so much for listening to part two of Kill Me Now with Jared Boritz and Steven Skeels. If you like the show, okay, which of course you do because you're still listening, please subscribe, please leave a review, please 5 stars, please everything great, everything fantastic. Also, as you know, I wrote a book because I mention it every 5 seconds, and you can get it wherever books are sold. It's called Yes, I Can Say That. When They Come for the Comedians, We're All in Trouble. And it's really great. In fact, I just went on Amazon to see if there were any new reviews. I'm just going to read a sentence from this review, okay? 5 stars, by the way. This person writes, a fascinating and absorbing read that led me to reflect on my own life in a different way and perhaps question some of my personal views and biases. My definition of a good book is one that expands your life view and makes you think. A few laughs never hurt either. Highly recommended. Okay? So go buy my fucking book. Okay? You can get the audiobook. You can go to my homepage, judygold.com. There's links there. Please, I need the money. Anyway, I hope everyone is happy that we have a new president. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter and Instagram for all of my upcoming non-events. Because there's a pandemic. At Judy Gold, J-E-W-D-Y, G-O-L-D, you know, like Jew, because I'm a Jew, Gold. And that's it. Please wear a mask. Hopefully this will be over soon. Be well. Please keep laughing. And as we always say, and thank you also for listening, as we always say, so long!
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.